heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation.
The nation.
And now, Malcolm.
So how often have you heard someone say, it's a free country, I can say what I want? But then you hear that, you know, we've all heard that example. Well, you can't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. That, you can't do that. That's illegal. Why is that illegal? I mean, free speech, you should be able to say what you want to say, right? But there are restraints on free speech, obviously, people. And, you know, as we've continued this whole process of good versus evil, boy, it plays into this topic today. Censorship. Censorship is alive and well in America, I'll tell you that. You know, we pride ourselves in America of free speech, but do we really have free speech without constraint? Do we really have free speech? When you start to look at all of the things that are happening in the media world, in the social media world, with political figures and lawsuits, where are we at with free speech today? I mean, you take a look at the mainstream media, people, and it's owned by, for the most part, far-left radicals. These are the folks who own a lot of the media outlets and a lot of the social media outlets, for that matter. And even go further than that, they even own a lot of the technology companies. So why is that? And I've been questioning you right along on that. You hear me all the time ask, why is that? Why do they own all of these properties? And where have the conservatives been in that? Suppression of voices, American voices. I'm going to call it American voices. Some will say it's conservative voices. I want to try not to make this really as partisan as it's hard sometimes to have these conversations, people, and not be talking partisan, right? It always comes back to partisan politics, sadly. But that's the way the country is. That's the way we're set up. That's our ideology. It's where we come from. We believe in the group. It's like a cult. It's like a Democratic cult or a Republican cult. You belong to one or the other, right? And if you're an independent or you're a moderate, then you're a nobody, they say. You're a wishy-washy. Like, you don't know anything. What do you mean you don't belong to a cult? You're independent? You have a, what does that mean? You have an independent thought? How does that fit into this? That is where we are in the country right now. Everything comes back to partisan politics. It's very partisan. It's either my way or the highway or hooray for me and the hell with you, right? That's the way it goes. That plays out on all types and forms of media today. But there is a suppression of voices going on. Some people want to admit this, others not so much. But you're seeing that, and you're seeing some of the politicians are getting a little nervous. We'll talk about that in a moment, this Devin Nunes. You see the lawsuit on that. Let me stay right now with you on the social media business. Social media is a big, big part of our lives. And whether or not you're engaged in any particular social media outlet or not, it's running a lot of the news cycles. In fact, more people get their news from Facebook than they get from the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal or anywhere else for that matter. But you've got to remember, they've got billions and billions of people who are tied into that network. And as we've talked about, at one point, it was, you know, connecting people, relationships, families, friends. It's gone far beyond that now, people. When there is censoring going on, we always hear this word come out, algorithms. It's about the algorithms. I start scratching my head, what the hell's an algorithm, you know? Well, it's a process or a set of rules to be followed in calculations or other problem-solving operations by a computer, in other words. That's an algorithm. So I guess however you tighten the screws up inside of that will project the, think about that now. I mean, it's kind of a loaded gun, really, huh? I mean, the algorithms can be whatever they want them to be. They can make those algorithms sing however they want to sing on any part of the day, anywhere, because that's their agenda. Well, see, they have an agenda too. Back to the ideology, all of these technology companies, all of these social media outfits, all of these newspapers and television, all the media, everybody has got some basic principles. It's their ideology, and they want it this way or that way, or what they think a better version of America is. It's all about that. It's all about where they want to take this country. It's a better version of America. That's what they're out for. What is that better version of America? I haven't seen a better version yet. Perhaps, potentially, if somebody sits me down and explains to me. But I'm open-minded, people, if it does exist. I doubt it. I think most of you doubt it as well. I mean, it's not accidental we've gotten to this point in the country. You know, we started talking about de Tocqueville and talking about, you know, democracy in America. And, you know, what did all that mean? And there were warning signs back then of the 17th century. He spelled it out really well, as I pointed out to you in the opening conversations, where we might go wrong. So the question you have to ask yourself today is, are we on a wrong path? Are we going wrong? Are we in the wrong direction? Where does all this go from here? And there's a lot of, we keep hearing the talk about artificial intelligence is coming. Yeah, I know it's coming. What does that mean? How does, and now think about this. How does that factor into all this? We ain't even on the doorstep of that business yet, right? So how does that factor in? Yeah, I mean, that's got to change a whole lot when that happens, I think. As I've used examples before, when they end up on your doorstep, you'll believe that it's coming, I guess, you know. It's already here. Just a lot of people don't want to admit this stuff. But anyways, back to social media, Facebook, Twitter, all these social media platforms, in fact. They're, as I've pointed out to you before, they're private companies. These are private enterprises. For the most part, they can do what the hell they want to do. It's really none of your business what they do, is it? Is it any of my business what they do? I mean, the fact that Facebook wants to censor or and Twitter wants to censor, they have censorship, or you put certain keywords in there. Like, for instance, let me give an example. In a tweet, if you use the word kill or murder, it's gonna get into that algorithm I talked about a moment ago. Yeah? You know what I mean? Or try using the word Muslim or Islamic and see where that gets you, right? Try the word MAGA, Make America Great Again, see how that does for you. Or illegal aliens even. So you get the picture. Well, these are edgy topics. These are controversial topics. Very clearly, they're controversial. But for who? Well, for people that deny the truth, probably, is who they're controversial for. But, you know, so back to this Facebook, Twitter business, and all of these social media outlets across the board. I mean, Google's a big player in all this. Keep in mind, your search engines. I mean, Google, right? When you go Google it, talk about a brand, they became the Band-Aid of search. I mean, these people are gazillionaires. I mean, because they became the Band-Aid of search. When you go search something, you don't go search in America, you go Google it. Wow, why didn't I come up with that, huh? Google it. And then you own it all because people go Google it. So they go Google the information. My God, that's more an affront to all of us and should be than Facebook and Twitter at that point. So, you know, Google's in the camp here, Microsoft's in the camp, Apple's in the camp. They're all here, people. They're all here. So here's the differentiator we need to decide today is these social media outlets now, okay? What if when they're going through the content now and they're deciding what content to put up or what not to put up, that sort of the lines become very blurred. I need you to understand that. The lines are really blurred. Many of these companies like Facebook, they're publishers. They've become publishers, full out publishers. They're no longer just a social media conglomerate sharing information with your aunts and uncles or friends across the country. They're now, this is where people go for their political news, which is hard to imagine that people are getting their political news from Facebook and Twitter and all of these outfits. And again, you know, all comes back to the days, you remember when it used to be was in the New York Times, it was in print, it was real, right? It must have been true. I read that in the newspaper, but I had a dime for every time somebody said that to me, you know? I mean, it's the same thing on social media. Well, I read it on social media. It's got to be true. Somebody said it. Yeah, somebody said it out in Idaho somewhere. It's done no shit. So, but it's on social media now and it's gone viral. You can't pull that stuff back, too. That's the other thing about it is. And politicians are great with that, throwing as much crap as they can out on the streets, out on the public square, see how much you suck up and indoctrinate your brain with. That's what's really going on, is we're all being indoctrinated into something here. We don't know half the time what it is, but we're being indoctrinated. Now, a perfect example of politically correctness. A lot of the censorship is, the direct opposite of this is, really to me, is politically correct. I mean, you know, we're in a politically correct society. You can only say certain things. You can't say them in a certain way. I mean, you can't speak about people. If you speak about Muslims or something, the social media people, they're going to stop you. They're going to stop you in your tracks. I mean, or they're going to censor you, or they're going to throw you off the social media. And people are being tossed off social media, friends. Now, our president is a perfect example, President Trump. This is not a politically correct president. Now, some people love this. Other people hate it. Now, I mean, is the president entitled to free speech? Think about that. A lot of people would say no. If you're president, does the Constitution apply to the president? Does he get free speech? According to today's standards and to many of the media heads and others, he doesn't get free speech. He needs to watch his P's and Q's. Can't be saying that stuff out there. Of course, this president doesn't give a damn. He puts it out there anyways on Twitter. If you like it, you like it. If you don't, too bad. Right? But that's got everybody unsettled. That's where a lot of this comes from, actually, people. It's the politically correct crowd. They can't handle the Trump because this man says what a lot of them are thinking but would never say. And then when you add in, friends, our universities and educators, that's a whole nother conversation, but it ties to censorship for sure. I mean, you know, this is where, here's another thing. You'll just love this. Free speech versus, it's in the university world, they hide that under the guise of equality. That's another one of those catchwords, equality. It's equality, freedom for all, freedom to be an idiot. Plenty of those out there, that's for damn sure. But think about that. I mean, right? That's all hidden under the guise of equality. That's where the free speech is. And of course, the universities, well, it's not equal. You're not playing the game fairly. And we don't like what you're doing here. So the equality is not there, and that's a problem. So, friends, we got to look at all of this. The First Amendment, there are five rights we're all entitled to. We know what they are. Listen, it's freedom of religion, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom to assemble peaceably, right, to protest, and freedom to petition the government for redress of grievances. Good luck at that one, right? But that's really what is this whole First Amendment. It's the reason it's the First Amendment, people. But here's the catch now. Here's what I want you to think about today. The problem? There are many out there who want to be masters of the universe. And the most important tool for them is censorship. These are the globalist folks. These are the what I call the masters of the universe. Yeah. And these are not the people like in the Oz behind the curtain kind of thing. These people do exist. They're out there. There's a lot of them. They're all in your political circles, your media circles, your technology circles, and they're out there. And so that's where this is a problem. Their goal of masters of the universe don't work. And so the best tool for them is censorship. You know, that's how they can. And so now you get into these algorithms. That's a big word, isn't it? Algorithms. We're going to tighten the screws, and we don't like what you say. We're going to throw you the hell off of this. Right? We don't like, that's the algorithms. I love that word. Let's just call it what it is. You don't get free speech here. We're going to have an algorithm in there, so you can't use murder, kill, Muslim. You can't do any of the stuff, any of those words I told you earlier. You can't use them. And if you use them, we're going to throw you the hell off. Now, can you do that? Well, if they own the company and they're calling the shots, well, sure they can do it. And they're doing it. I mean, we talked about this on the platform many times. There are plenty of people being tossed off these outlets, people, social media outlets. I mean, they're being tossed off. Because they don't fit the agenda. They don't fit that cookie cutter image these people want. Wow. Too bad, so sad, right? That's the whole free speech thing, people. It really has got to start to rub you wrong. I mean, where the hell's the First Amendment in this thing? Clearly the framers had it right. They knew this stuff was going to happen. You put enough goofballs in the parade and you're going to screw the parade up. And that's what we got right now in politics. So we got it across the board. The whole system is tanking fast. There are a lot of types of censorship, friends. That's the topic today on The Voice of a Nation. Well, the Out Loud perspective awaits you in life, love, politics, a healthy lifestyle, your faith, personal development, and living an out loud life on AmericaOutloud.com. Blitzer News and Entertainment Network, where you can listen 24/7 on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio. Okay, friends. So Dennis Santiago, you've heard him before on the network. He's an American strategist, philosopher, patriot. His subject matter expertise includes strategic warfare, a big one today, asymmetric warfare, arms control, global stability. All right, so listen, if you were given the monologue right now on censorship, what would your emphasis have been when it comes to censorship?
Hearing the litany of what you went over, the thing that really strikes me hardest is that people have forgotten that social media, mainstream media, are not real conversations. Real conversations are done people to people. Social media can link you to other human beings. The media can make you aware of things that are going on. Nothing relieves you of the responsibility to find things out for yourself and to have conversations with real people about what you find out, because you need to interact with human beings. Right now, we have people deeply into a point in their lives where they don't actually interact with other human beings anymore. They interact with curated versions of human beings that they see in social media. That's not a real person. I mean, you know, how many people do you know that are actually like what there is on their Facebook profile or their Instagram or their Twitter? Sit down with them for real. There's a lot more behind that.
What you're speaking about right now, you know what comes to my mind, Dennis, is road rage on social media outlets. Because here's the thing. You see, when people don't have to, as you say, sit down with you, use the word sit down with you. In other words, face to face or eye to eye or mouth to mouth, or even on a phone, or even a connection, or a couple of Dixie cups with a wire on it, or something. If you don't have to do that, and you can do that across social media streams, guess what? See, that's what emboldens the idiots and the people. They become bold and brazen, and because they have courage. And that's what I've seen. It's people who hide behind text, they hide behind email, and they absolutely hide behind social media because they feel strong, they feel big, they feel brazen. Because, you know, Dennis, if I don't have to look you in the eye, if I don't have to have a real conversation with you, it's easy for me to get on social media and call you a putz or an ignoramus or somebody that doesn't know what the hell you're talking about, right?
Hey, you say that to me when we're talking to each other.
Well, but that's because I'm an out loud truth kind of guy, but not everybody's that way. But
I know. Well, look, the fact that you're entirely correct that it's impossible to actually get to know someone for real using social media alone. And people don't realize that anymore. More important to that is that it's when you start to position yourself, when you type into a keyboard, it's an imperfect conversation because you don't hear the inflections. You don't hear the pauses that are part of the humanity of the person on the other side. I mean, you know, so I have a rule of thumb that on the internet. It's lighthearted conversation. If I need to discuss something seriously with somebody, you know, I'm picking up the phone.
Yeah,
I'm looking you in the eye.
Right?
Because I don't know what your reaction is.
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea whether what I am saying in the moment is helpful, constructive, or hurtful, whether it's on purpose or not. The only way you ever get that is by talking to someone.
But see, they're not doing that. And your perfect example you put out there right now. And again, the first lesson I was always taught as a young man is to treat people with respect. And I was also taught this as a young lad, Dennis, is treat people the way you wish to be treated. Now, I learned that from my mom. I mean, this was a basic lesson of growing up, is treat people the way you want to be treated. So quite frankly, that's why I have decent respect for people. And I don't use adjectives on social media or other outlets because there's a respect there. It's a respect for somebody's opinion. But you see, we've lost that. We've lost the civil discourse. Because I see these comments all the time. I've seen them in the last many days, and I always cringe when I see them. And I sometimes see them from good people who sometimes tell somebody off. It's absolute road rage. It's no different than driving down the highway and somebody cuts you off or something happens and you start swearing adjectives or using your fingers in the window and you look like a damn fool. But this happens and it's road rage. So it's road rage. It's social media rage. Listen, my personal goal is to bring truth, but bring respect and love also to the conversation. Decency for a fellow human being, that is lost today. There is no decency for the fellow human being. But listen, back to censorship here a moment, please. And so social media is a tool that is being used to censor. When I use some of the words up front, now, do you agree with the fact that a lot of these words, like I say, words like murder, try putting a tweet out there with the words murder or kill. And if you use it in the wrong context, you will absolutely be suspended and potentially thrown off. And you do it a couple of times and you will be thrown off. You see?
Whether it's in the right context or not, these algorithmic formulae that sit inside these systems don't look for context. They look for trigger words. They look for incidence rates. They look for whether or not that conversation is in concert with other people that have the same patterns. It's pattern matching.
All right. But listen, so maybe what you're saying is it's because the human person isn't there. And maybe this is all, I guess you're saying it's automated or computer generated. So is the computer the one that's making the decisions who to suspend and who to throw off? Do you know that answer?
I think it raises triggers to the point that they get people involved and you get people who view these alerts that they basically look like email. So the percentage of time that they're going to misinterpret them is going to be statistically significant. All right. And at a statistically significant rate of errors, what you basically do is you create a mess. So we have a very imperfect system right now.
Those words and using those words, how is that free speech? If I want to put something out there and use the word murder in some context, whatever context it is, not that I'm going to murder somebody, but that I use it, how and I get stopped for that. How is that free speech?
It's not free speech. I mean, you know, it's like my favorite use of the word murder, for instance, is in the context of emulating Mo when he's talking to Larry and Curly, because, you know, that was a classic line in the Three Stooges, and I kind of like it, you know. I'm going to murder you guys, yeah. Right.
So Larry, Mo, Curly, and Joe, I guess it was, yeah. So
yeah, they could get away with it back in their time. Why? Right. Because the world was still communicating human to human. Today, look at where social media is going, the algorithms are being tweaked, right? The latest tweak, and I think a very dangerous tweak, is that the algorithm is being designed to put each individual user into a private echo chamber so you never have to hear anything that upsets you.
Hmm. I have a thought process for a brand new hit show for somebody on television, and that would be a current day version of the Three Stooges with the internet, I'm talking about, with social media. Now, you could see those guys, the knock, 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 and the ding, and again, on social media with the internet, because, you know, they didn't have that back then, obviously, you see. But that would be a terrific hit show. All those shows back there, technology wasn't a part of it. Listen, I want to get right to censorship. I'll get back to censorship here a moment here. So Facebook, Twitter, but let's talk about Facebook has been in the news in past weeks here. The co-founder, Chris Hughes, came out and said that they need to be broken up. They're a problem. And a lot of people talking about regulations, people are getting nervous. Now that they're really a news outfit, I mean, Facebook and Twitter, I mean, they're choosing which stories to run, which not to run, where to put what to put who, and who, and again, their algorithms tightening the screws to the American people. Dennis, that's what an algorithm is to me. Tightening the screws to the American people. We want what we want and our ideology and our agenda and not yours. And if you put the word in there we don't like, we're going to take action. And if you don't like it, too bad. Go somewhere else. Aren't these companies really effectively becoming A, publishers, and two, is it time for regulations?
Oh, they are. Well, I mean, you know, the academics have basically been saying it's time for regulations for a while because they've thrown out their hands. The early founders of Facebook have thrown out their hands because it's become extremely difficult for them to understand the mechanics of what's going on inside there. Personally, you know, what I see, Facebook just did a system change. Mm-hmm. And in the process of the system change, I saw the algorithm shift All right. This is like watching the Matrix, right? You know, it's like they made a change. I saw the change. The change is I see probably 1/10 of the cross traffic from other echo chambers showing up in mine at this point. All right. So I don't hear all of the noise that used to be there from other interest groups or people with other okay. other ways of thinking. They have changed. That is the censorship that they're doing now. What are they doing? Are they really censoring things that they don't like, or have they been trained?
Yes. Let me answer that for you.
No, I disagree. I think what they are doing is they are making it so they are trying to figure out what you want to hear and make sure that's the only thing you hear.
Yeah.
That is a form of censorship in and of itself.
Oh, you're saying, now, wait a minute now. If I played along with the rules you just put out there, then you're saying that everybody on Facebook would be leftist and radical, so that's what they want to put out there. Is that right?
No. I'm saying is people that think like me, people that think like you, if you were on Facebook, you know, would only be seeing the things that make you happy. Facebook's main job in this world, or the way they see it right now,
but they're not, they're not doing that. I disagree with you, Your Honor. They're not doing that, Dennis. You're wrong. I disagree entirely, because a lot of the audience on Twitter, for example, there's a big conservative audience on Twitter. They're not giving them what they want.
Twitter goes the other way. Twitter's algorithm is designed to promote the biggest fight possible. Twitter is a battleground. All right. That is
well, Facebook is too.
No,
Facebook
is too. I mean, you know,
they're having pissing contests on Facebook every day. People are being thrown off,
and they're disappearing.
You put out this example here where you say, and I get the theory of you give them what the people want, and I know you fall to that theory, and I get it as a company business, but I think we've gone past that. I can't say that I agree with you. I think we've gone by this now. I think that these companies are, you're saying all is fair in the business world. I'm saying I think the globalists are playing here, and we're in a censorship environment. You disagree with that.
What I think is we are about to get in. We have people who are unhappy with the state of things as they are now. And I believe that what people are calling for actually is to increase the censorship to the point that every medium is subject to a modern day version of the Fairness Act.
Fairness Act. Boy, there's a big one. Fairness Act. Put that in your brain a minute, people. Fairness Act.
And that's political correctness, Malcolm. Yeah. It means basically at a certain point in time, you won't be able to broadcast without broadcasting both sides.
That's it. Fairness.
You're going to have to include.
Well, I can give you both sides. You got some time? Sit down and I'll give you both sides. Both sides, but I'll give you both sides.
Yeah, but right. I mean, you know, do you want that forced on you?
Well, nobody does because, again, nobody wants to hear what the other side has to say, first of all. They shut you off immediately when you do say something. So is it time to regulate these Facebooks and Twitters and Googles? Is it time to regulate?
I am not yet convinced that it is time to bring them to the level of regulation where you are forcing them to force people to see content in a manner that is proscribed by a government entity.
All right.
I think that is a bigger threat to the First Amendment than the noise that's there now.
Why does the left, when I say the left, and I'm talking some far left organizations and people, why does the left own everything? You probably don't have an answer for this, and I'm just wondering, does anybody know, why does the left own everything? Why do they own all the technology companies, all of these social media companies, all of the newspapers, all the television? Why? Anybody know?
My impression of why the left has so much influence over the content that is
running our lives.
Essentially, creating the noise that surrounds us is because they're always the biggest talkers. All right.
Yeah, funny.
The bottom line is, you know, they've always had it. They own the outside positions for many decades, owned the outside positions. So they needed to speak up because people weren't listening to them. Now, you know, at this point in time, they've gotten the upper hand in terms of control. Over
so they were more the social butterflies in school when we went to school then. Those were the far left radicals. You know. I see. So little like, Cindy that would drive you crazy up in front of you, right? I
mean, And, you know, and what do? So they grow up and they go like, I still want to open my mouth. You know, they're prolonged adolescence is probably the best way to put what their lives have been like. And, you know, so they gravitate towards things that will give them a voice, an outside outside voice, to be sure. Okay. Entertainment. Okay. Entertainment isn't real. Come on, Malcolm. Okay. You know, that's a caricature of real life. Okay. And everything else that goes along with these people makes that they're attracted to this. People who have their lives in good order.
All right.
Tend not to, they go like, hey, I'm fine. Why do I have to speak up? Right now, the world
well,
is
a lot of
changing.
People feel that way, and they're not speaking up. Obviously, we're seeing that everywhere. People are tuning
exactly.
in
exactly. And, yeah. and when and one of the things that I think is totally. One of the more interesting okay. effects of social media mm-hmm. is that it has forced both camps of people, mm-hmm. the loud social butterflies of the past, and the quiet, you know, like I just want to sit in the background, be a wallflower. People have become equally activated because of the technology of social media. And okay. now everybody's having to speak up. And it's an uncomfortable thing to do, to suddenly have to force everybody to interact. And, you know, and it,
well,
I kind of think we may have made a bit of a mistake by thinking everybody wants to talk. It turns out, you know, not everybody does. You know, Facebook is redesigning its algorithm to create more isolation. Twitter has a different philosophy, and it really believes that its market share comes from creating these interactions, okay. Okay. rough and tumble.
When it comes to the whole censorship thing, another big piece of the puzzle to me, and this is something we need to be talking a lot more about, is our universities and educators. Again, this is another thing where free speech does not live. Censorship is alive and well on our campuses and throughout. And again, this is another one where I say, where has the conservative movement been? I mean, because you've got all your professors and all of your people in these organizations up in the high executive branches are all far left radical thinking. This is a problem as well, isn't it, for censorship?
I would say that higher education in this country, or even primary education in this country, is probably the most concentrated form of censorship and propaganda going on in this country at this point in time. It is purposeful. I think it is subversive in its nature. I think it is dangerous, and I think it is causing people to not be able to see that balance is the only way that America stays together. Mm-hmm. I'm not, like I was saying earlier, I'm not so much worried about social media, but education, yeah, I'm extremely worried about that, because the people that are controlling that have an agenda.
They have an agenda.
And they do not have the algorithms to mitigate that agenda like they mm-hmm. do in commercial space.
What they're doing is they're brainwashing the kids. They're brainwashing this entire generation, the last generation, the upcoming generation, and the one after that. They're all being brainwashed with this, and we're seeing it. The kids I'm seeing.
If I were to basically say, where do you want to put regulation? I would put more regulation into the school systems.
Interesting. How would we do that? It's a good question for another day, potentially. How would we do that? Because there are a lot of speakers that can't speak at the universities now. They're throwing them off. They don't want them there. And clearly there's a bias going on the campuses and through the education system, as I spoke about just recently on air, that we're seeing 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds that are coming home telling their mom and dad, and some of them are crying and saying that the teacher's telling us the end of America or the end of the climate change is going to kill us all. And things. The point is, it's indoctrination. They're being indoctrinated into, as I said there this past week, Dennis, on air, it's no different than the jihadists do out there when they take the little kids and they brainwash them.
Oh, it's
them.
Exactly the same. It's
yeah,
exactly
we're doing the same thing. Set of yes, techniques. Yes. Right? The same truth, right? You agree with
yeah.
that?
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's why I call it dangerously subversive.
Yeah. So where are we at, people? So now you got to ask yourself, where are we at, really? I mean, when you see all of this come out, so we're talking about the social media outlets, the media outlets. A lot more to say about this. Let's bring in the peanut gallery now and talk about several of the things that we brought up here with Dennis. We'll do that, friends, just after the pause.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Okay, so on Friends with the Peanut Gallery here, and Ava Armstrong is here. She's an author, political commentator, social media influencer. Matt is here, independent researcher and a veteran of the United States Air Force. Arnetta Notkin, constitutionalist, a political commentator, and a retired financial planner. So good cross-section, friends. You know, the topic today is censorship. Are we being censored? The word's algorithm I'm using, okay? And they're tight. I call it tightening the screws. That's what I call it. They're tightening the screws. And that's what I see as a problem. And so, Arnetta, let me go to you first on this and get your opinion. I mean, that to me is my definition of an algorithm. I mean, I know, but I listen, I'm a simple man, really, Arnetta. I put things in simple brass tacks, okay? But I think that's what they're doing because that's their form of censorship. Now, where I disagree with Dennis, he doesn't believe there's any ideology or agenda with the social media technology companies. I completely disagree with that. What do you say?
As I do. Totally 100% disagree with Dennis on that. The algorithms are set up by humans who determine what hate speech is. People like the organization, the Southern Poverty Lawsuit.
Perfect example.
They are the ones and had been the ones for determining what Twitter used as identifying hate speech. So if they said a word that we use, like illegal aliens, is hate mm-hmm. speech, mm-hmm. that's what Twitter looked for and built into their computers to track the people on Twitter that use those words. It is definitely censorship, and it is 100% total focus on silencing us, particularly going into, you know, an election cycle.
Right. All right. Well, here's the thing. Dennis is still believing that the social media is in the fun and game mode, Ava.
Tell you something really that's really going to scare you, okay? I know who the real election meddlers were. It was Silicon Valley and social media. Okay. There's a Boston Herald article written about this, and I posted it today on my feed. I also posted something else very interesting on my Twitter feed. It's a Veritas video undercover. Mm-hmm. He's interviewing a Twitter engineer.
Okay.
And the Twitter engineer, and I'm quoting here, mm-hmm. every single conversation is going to be rated by a machine. And the machine is going to say whether or not it's a positive thing or a negative thing. Mm-hmm. It's going to ban like a way of talking. So now they're banning a way of talking, okay? Right. This is what you have to understand. This is so serious. The fourth estate is the media, okay?
Right.
I connect them to the social media because that's how we read articles now. Mm-hmm. All of these people are in collusion, okay, to elect Democrats. So yeah, we're up against it big time. And there are two ways you can get suspended. I want to get this out there because Dennis didn't mention this. People will report you. Mm-hmm. So you need to block hostile people. Okay. You need to block them. Don't interact because they will report you. I've been suspended 5 times.
Wow.
So the last time was for an entire week.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to sell books and do things on Twitter.
You have a business you run. So you have you have a business you're doing. So that's clearly it. Let me go to Matt here a moment. Matt, I mean, first of all, social media. Do you believe that they have a different agenda as Dennis did?
He sort of separated it out into Facebook and Twitter. And I'll give the disclaimer that I don't go onto Facebook. So I'm not sure there, but I can tell you that you can watch, you know, send a tweet out and it'll start to gain attention and you can watch, the statistics on it in real time. Right. And so you can see when your statistics for impressions, for instance, which just means someone has seen your tweet somewhere, right? That's an impression. I can watch, I'm in such Twitter, we call it Twitmo. I'm in Twitmo and I can watch to where it's got me rate limited to where it is only, it's a constant, it's a linear line for my impressions. It's going up at the same rate the entire time, no matter how many retweets I get. So if I send it out there and I get 2 retweets, my impressions are growing at the same rate as if I've got 30 retweets. It's called rate limiting. So I have very little doubt at that.
So you feel they're tightening the screws for your coverage and your reach, right? You're being limited to your reach. Is that what you're saying?
There's no doubt about it.
There's no doubt about it. Okay.
Yeah, and not in my mind, because you can watch it in real time.
All right. All right. Well, and that's fine. I don't watch any of that stuff, so, but I get it. I take your word for it. I'm sure there are ways that that can be done. So here's the thing, that everything being equal right now. So the question really is that I tried to push Dennis for, and finally he answered that and said, no, is it time to regulate these? Think about this a moment. I want everybody to answer this. Is it, this is a big question, because I know most conservatives don't want to regulate. I get that. We want minimal government. Is the rule of thumb that we regulate these companies, or do we give them free rein to do what they're doing? And does that force the conservatives to get in? And is that the reason? Why? What?
I have to say it. We have to destroy them. Okay. How do you destroy a company?
Okay.
You leave it. Okay. Because this is what,
leave Twitter tomorrow?
Oh,
are you ready to leave?
So ready. You have no idea. Listen, this is what capitalism is. This is what freedom is. This is what our Constitution allows.
All right. Okay.
It allows companies to die and something else to be born from the ashes. It's creative destruction.
So you're ready to leave. Now, hold on, Ava. So if you leave, let me keep going with this. Where do you go? What happens? How do you sell the books?
There are new platforms opening up daily. Okay. I've already signed up for like 6 of them.
Do you think the days are numbered for Twitter?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Do you think the president at some point leaves?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
All right, let me go over to Matt. Is it time to regulate the social media companies, in your opinion?
No, I agree. We don't regulate. Allow them to go through the punishment. That's the beauty of the market, is that whenever...
But what punishment are they getting? What's the punishment, Matt?
Oh, it's going to be people leaving. And
but who's leaving? Who's leaving? I mean, I don't understand.
There's
we have an election coming in 2020. Let me point something out to you, Matt. We have an election coming.
Question.
People are worried about the election. Mm-hmm. I don't see conservatives are not going to leave Twitter right now. Ava says she's ready to leave tomorrow, but are others ready to leave? So I'm asking you, if we're not going to regulate, how do we get them to say uncle? Now hold on, this is serious. Ava says destroy them. How do we destroy them, Matt?
No, I believe that you allow them to destroy themselves or learn from the problems. I just don't think that – I think that we'll risk just complicating it even more with a bureaucracy and put a Band-Aid over it, and it's just going to prolong these issues. So
true. Yeah,
how do they destroy themselves, Sarnetta?
Well, that's it. They're not going to, particularly going in
– I don't think they are either.
Cycle, they're not going to
because
they've got – the Billionaires Boys Club backing them, and they're the ones that
100%. And they'll keep going and going and going and going.
No other platform that conservatives can go to at this point to have an impact.
So let me ask you the question now, please, Arnetta. Is it time to regulate the social media companies? Yes or no?
I think it's time to sue them.
Well, Devin Nunes is doing that, by the way.
Yes, Devin Nunes is, and I think there should be a class action suit brought on by other people in the country, because there is nowhere for Republican candidates to get their message out. There was a huge problem with that in the 2018 midterms. In time, we are out of time.
So is it time to regulate them, though? No, but I know that's a dirty word for people. They don't want to answer that. Is it time to?
I think it is. I think
so. You have a difference of opinion. All right.
Absolutely.
So you're the only one would say that so far on the program today, that it's time to regulate them. Ava, you don't like that still.
No, I am combining social media along with the press.
I understand.
Okay. The press was supposed to be the fourth estate. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what they've done now is they're choosing a side, and they're just giving that sides, you know, they're giving them all the support. They're not the watchdog they were appointed to be. They no longer are even legitimate, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So there are very few journalists. I actually go on and tweet. there's only a handful of people I actually believe anymore. Okay. That's how bad it's become.
Yeah. Am I one of them, love?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why I'm here with you.
And Malcolm, I was going to say the only other platform that we have is America Out Loud. Talk radio is a platform. And
big time, yeah. Big time.
That's, you know, and that's the mission that you're on,
right?
Is to communicate,
right?
And to educate people so that they have a voice.
Well, it is, Arnetta.
Whether it's politicians, right. Or, you know, just standing up for freedoms and rights.
Well, listen, it's a place, you know, that we just, it's not real complicated here. And the goal is simple, Matt. The goal is for people to be comfortable, to say their truth. I still believe we can be truthful, but be ladies and gentlemen and be respectful to each other. I firmly believe that civil discourse needs to come back. And I don't agree. Like, Dennis is a very good friend of our network. Do I agree with everything he said? Absolutely not. I disagree with him fervently. I don't agree with him. But I'll have him back on, you understand? You know, Matt, what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure. No, I mean, we don't have to agree on everything.
Well, they do believe you have to agree. But what you say is not true, Matt. It's true in what you say, but it's not true they're not doing that. Because if you disagree with whoever out there now, they're going to call you on it, and they're going to step on you, they're going to call you names. Am I right or wrong?
No, that's right. But we're also talking, I mean, we're talking on what we call the solution, right? I mean, you've got your organization and show popping up, and you're going the different route. So let's just be mindful that change takes time, and it's occurring right now.
Change takes time. That's a great thing to put out there, Matt. Change takes time. You know, when Ava says, well, she's ready to leave tomorrow, and I hear that, Ava. And then, Arnetta, you say, well, you know, talk radio is another vehicle. They can't censor us. It's just like somebody smart. There was an article that went up the last couple of days here, and they used the word in the article. And I said, well, do we put that in there or not? Well, we're going to put it in there. I mean, because I'm not going to censor that within reason. I mean, four-letter words. I mean, it's a fine line of being ladies and gentlemen and being respectful, still being a family club, I guess is what I would call it. You know what that means, Ava, right? I mean,
exactly.
We can be respectful with each other and disagree. Yeah.
Right. And I am very respectful. And, you know, I got taken down for a week because I put up a tweet that said, conservatives are now the new Underground Railroad. And somebody took offense by that and reported me to Twitter.
And you were suspended, which just blows my mind that you were. And then you did another tweet, by the way, the one that you were suspended for a week, where you did a hypothetical about you were asking, do they want to kill us all or something, kill all America?
Well, Americans and replace them with illegals, right?
It was a hypothetical. Boom. You didn't talk about kill, but you were suspended for using the word kill, right or wrong?
Exactly. Exactly.
So, and what does that say? I mean,
Malcolm, you know, the 200 was targeted for using the hashtag election integrity and voter fraud. And now Twitter has come up with a very quick and efficient way to report someone as being using voter fraud as a tool against the Democrats. Just the word voter fraud.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's now in their algorithm.
Right.
You'll notice in my tweets, I don't use hashtags anymore. You know why?
You stopped.
That's how you get reported. That's how you get taken off.
Right.
And I remember you saying that, and I know a lot of people are still using them. I'm very careful also with that, and I don't use a lot of them with the network here. And I know a lot of people still use them, but I do think it's a way they're putting us into buckets, and it's their buckets to censorship is what they've got. It's their algorithm buckets. And if you say something wrong, you go into that bucket, you understand. And then you're going to be suspended because they don't like what you say.
The clock is ticking, and it's ticking down. And what's going to happen is, you know, we're all going to be banned from Twitter, all conservatives. That's the goal.
Is that really where they're headed, I wonder? And back to, Dennis seems to think that the free enterprise system will take care of it. In other words, when you're in business and you're a CEO or an executive or a board of director, the goal of a board of director is to please your customers. It's to please your customers and your share. It's really to your shareholders and your shareholders and then your customers, because the customers have to be happy for the shareholders to be happy. Right, guys? Right? But the shareholders, and that's what business is. That's business 101. Well, today, you see what's happening here is I don't buy his theory that the social media outfits like Twitter, for example, are trying to please their customers. When they throw their customers off at the point of saying something that really wasn't at all an insult, it was an affront to their free speech. How does that fall into that basic business principle? It doesn't.
No, you look at the radical jerks that run Twitter, okay? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You look at these radical jerks and Facebook and all of them. I'm talking about, and even the mainstream media. I'm telling you that a lot of Saudi influence, a lot of Middle Eastern influence now, these guys are buying big chunks of these companies.
They are. They know who's controlling the conversation.
You have to understand who's controlling us. Yeah. They're taking our free speech away. Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're not their customers. Or
no.
We consider conservative voices.
No.
We weren't meant to be their customers.
That's my point right there.
It's a tool used by the social elites or the progressive elites to unite their movement, their organization.
So if we're not going to regulate them, and if they're somehow going to self-destruct, which I don't really buy, because, you know, again, they could survive just fine. If conservatives left tomorrow, Ava, they would survive just fine for quite some time. And Matt, you know that, don't you? I mean, come on, you know this. I mean, they're going to survive. They're gonna make money. They got deep pockets. Remember, we know who's running the show here, right?
Mm-hmm. Sure, but if President Trump were to hypothetically leave, what would happen? Overnight, they'd lose tens of millions of their users, and then overnight they've got
stock would drop, and we bring them to their knees. So the question then is this: then, so that's a fair assessment. I've heard that more than once. So here's the next question: who can convince President Trump to leave?
Right. Are you asking me? I think Trump. I think President Trump has already addressed this topic quite a bit. I'm sure that he's got a point in his mind that
he's going to leave.
Do not pass line, and then he'll leave.
But he's starting to put tweets out that are really in your face on the social media business, Matt. You know.
Yeah, I've seen him. He's getting serious about it. He called him into DC as well.
Yeah, he seems to be, but what does that really mean? I mean, all right, so
I think he's getting ready to set up his own Twitter, and it's going to be called Trumpet Chat. I've already set up an account there. So,
does he own it?
I don't know, but I've been approached by somebody on Twitter, and they asked me to join, and I did.
Yeah, I heard that. I seen the group. Is it any good? Do you know?
It's building. It's building.
It's building. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lot of them are very raw still. The Codius and the Gab, they're not as sexy as Twitter, you know?
No, they'll come up. They'll come up in the world. You watch.
I mean, we're on them as the network goes, but mm-hmm. Are you on those, Matt, those other organizations, Codius and Gab?
No, I haven't. I haven't transitioned to those yet.
Okay. Well, see, this is where a lot of conservatives are trying to get to, and a lot of them, Arnetta, you're on some of them, right?
Yes, some of them.
And some of our other folks are on the network here as well. They've started to move over to them. There's a threat here, clearly, when it comes to this these outfits and what they're doing and the censoring. Let me ask you all this. Let me go around here a moment and ask you this big thing here. This is big deal here. So what's the biggest threat to our freedom of speech? Now, you heard us talk about social media influences, and your universities and educators. What's the biggest threat to freedom of speech? Matt, let's start with you, please. What in your mind is the biggest threat?
I think that it is the echo chamber. And whether they're building these echo chambers because they think it'll increase some sort of a quality measurement, or whether they're doing it because they truly want to isolate and create more friction, whatever the purpose is or whatever's driving it, the echo chamber is definitely the biggest threat.
Okay. Arnetta, pick that up now. What is the biggest threat to our freedom of speech? What is it?
I think that they're trying to, in favor of the very radical aspects that are in the country right now, they're trying to set up and incite one against the other. And I think that the progressives' goal is to create a situation where there is a civil war. And without the freedom of speech, and or using their definition of freedom and speech, that's where we're headed. Because the silent majority is very angry and is fed up. Mm-hmm. And that's why you're seeing all the language on Twitter and other social media.
Right.
But to me, that is the biggest threat, is them using freedom of speech against us to incite an incident.
B- biggest danger that we have right now is the indoctrination taking place in schools. And I would love to do a show with you just on that.
It is a problem. But again, back to regulation. And how do you regulate? Do you have an idea, Ava, how we regulate the universities? Anything off the top or something to think about?
Yeah, I really think universities need to be slapped financially. The ones that choose not to allow free speech mm-hmm. should not get federal funding. And I truly believe that's the only way to handle this. You have to force free speech in the public realm. And if these universities are public universities, then they have to allow free speech. If they're private universities getting public money, yeah, we can force them by just using money. But I think this starts in kindergarten. Okay?
No, it does. Absolutely.
And that's where I want to start with this with you.
Oh, so. Yeah, no, they're being indoctrinated. Last word, Matt, is do you agree with what Ava says there? Do you have a different thought with the universities?
Well, I think you always want the best ideas. You want ideas to battle each other and the best ideas to win in an ideal situation. But if it comes to access or protecting people or safety of people for expressing an idea, that's an entirely different situation. And it, whatever tools we have to stop that, I agree that it needs to be used.
Arnetta, back to the universities. What do you think?
Well, I absolutely think we need to address it. But addressing it means addressing the unions, liberal think tanks, and the liberal money behind the teachers' unions. I don't know how you do that all the way through kindergarten. It's taken them, 30, 40 years, maybe 50, to totally control our education system.
You know, you mentioned another thing there, Arnetta, unions. Another thing, some food for another day and some thought here, friends, for you. I mean, the unions and then the universities and the educators again and the social media and, you know, the media outlets and the newspapers and the televisions and the Googles and the Microsofts and the Apples and the, I mean, so the litany list I just gave you, they're all controlled by a radical left agenda. And then you have America, the free, the home of the brave, the free, yeah. You know, this group here with a constitution, back to a country that is now in its third century. As I pointed out in the opening show here on The Voice of a Nation, I told you that history doesn't show that a nation can survive three centuries. We're in our third century here, people. That's where we're at. Are we in the demise here? Are we in the end days of America? And so before you turn it all off and think it doesn't really matter, start to connect all the dots of what I just put out there. And I think the bigger question I need to get answers to that I still don't have, and we'll get them ahead, is where the conservatives have been for all of this. Why have they not bought into anything or owned anything or any of these companies, technology, social media driven companies, the universities, the educators, the teachers, the professors, and the unions? And the list goes on and on and on. Think about all that. Where does that all come from? Why has that become all part of this big agenda to take over the world, right? It's a globalist movement. It's the Agenda 21 isn't just a far-fetched idea, potentially. And that's it, friends. The Voice of a Nation, you'll catch it 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every day. There's an encore that plays the next day at 8 a.m. You can also catch it in the morning drive, the show from the night before. It's a big push. It's a big conversation. The Out Loud Truth continues back at AmericaOutLoud.com.